Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
James chapter 1, verse 22. It's a short scripture. I'm going to read two versions of it. James 1, 22. The KJV reads it like this. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Why is it, let me just pause right there, why is it that we hate when other people lie to us, but when we lie to ourselves, we give ourselves a pass? Why is it when someone deceives us, we block them from our lives and we get away from as quick as we can, but we just kind of just skirt around the issue of our own deceit? This is what the Bible says. He said, anyone that hears the word and doesn't do what they've heard, you're lying to yourself. This is what the NIV says. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. This series that we're going to be in July on Wednesday nights is titled Paparazzi, Living Out Your Faith in a World Where Everyone is Watching. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, do what it says. You may be seated. Over the next five Wednesdays, we are going to dive into the book of James. And in this series, we're going to challenge and inspire one another to weaponize our faith in Christ, to transform our faith from a noun to a verb, to turn your faith from something you have into something you do, and to take hearers of the word and turn them into doers of the word. I've always found it interesting that in a church-like Living Way, we can hear Bishop preach on praise, and some people can amen the word, yet they don't pray. Or they can hear the masterpiece of the last few Wednesday nights of the wonderful world of worship, and we can clap a little bit, we can lift our hands, we can say that's right, we can even respond to an altar call, yet when the time comes to worship, not just on a Sunday or Wednesday, but on a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, that when it comes time to worship, we don't do the word that we amened on Wednesday or amen on Sunday. And so we live in this time where there's a lot of people that are listening, a lot of people, the podcasts are rolling and books are being read, and we come to church two or three times a week, but our doing level does not match our listening level. See, Wednesday nights, in the next few moments, 20, 25 minutes, you're going to listen. There's going to be some people that are doing and listening simultaneously, that you're working just as hard, come on, to receive the word as I am to give the word, or as God is to give the word. But I want to encourage you, it's not about doing it here. It's not about just listening here. It's already strategizing that while I'm preaching and you're taking notes, and I encourage you, and I've been on a big kick next door with our young people, learn to take notes, whether it's on your smartphone or whether it's with a pencil and a piece of paper and a highlighter. Take notes. Take down what God is teaching you. Take down what God is speaking to you. But I believe that there are people in this room tonight that as God is speaking the word, you are going to write the word, but you are going to begin to develop strategies that I'm going to use the word I hear on Wednesday. I already know how I'm going to use that on Thursday. I already know how I'm going to use that when I get home. All right, that's a word I can apply to my situation at work. That's doing the word of God. Somebody say, all eyes are on me. How many of you are just naturally, you are a shy person? Just raise your hand. Not many people. I think the longer this world goes, the less shy we become. There's a few hands that went up, that people that are naturally shy, and you probably don't like to think that there are people watching you and that people are viewing you and people are looking at you, but we have to realize that there are always people watching us. Rockwell had a hit in 1984 called Somebody's Watching Me. Y'all thought that was Michael Jackson's song. No, he sang the chorus. He sang the hook that made you remember it. But that was Rockwell's song, and it is so true. It's not just a feeling that somebody's watching me. There is somebody watching. There's always somebody looking at your life, how you react, how you're living, how you're reacting. You know what I know, what I've learned about people watching is if you think you're being watched, you begin to act different. You know why I know that's true? Because Walmart, Valero, and every bank you go into has security cameras. And they have security cameras, and this is going to mean something to somebody, because when they put up those security cameras, they are banking on this rule, that if people think they're being watched, it is going to change their behavior. Come on now. Some of you walking into Target and Walmart, and you look up and you see yourself on that, and you're thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be on the peopleofwalmart.com. Why'd I come out in my pajamas? And you see those, and listen, they know that it's so true that some of those cameras are not even real. They're dummy cameras. Because there are some people that like to steal that will not steal if they think they're under surveillance. And so this is what I want to just jump in and talk about before we get to any of James. You've got to understand that people are watching you. And if people are watching you, it should change the way that you are behaving in public. But more than that, there is a God that is watching. And God never sleeps. And God never slumbers. And God never takes a vacation. And God never takes a day off. And so if I know that God is watching, it should change my behavior. Who am I preaching to tonight? That's why when you really get saved, God breaks the spirit of pornography off of you. When you really get saved, that addiction and life of addiction cannot stay. Why? Because I always know that there's a God that is watching me. And listen, we cannot expect God to see us when we need something and then turn a blinded eye when we want to do something that brings glory to our flesh. You and I have to understand there is a God that is watching us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 366 days this year, and that should terrify you or excite you. That should exhilarate you or devastate you. The fact that there's a God that is always watching us. We know that God watches at all times. However, I want to encourage you. And this series is about living our faith out there, not just in here. You know what I was just praying about this week? And as I was getting ready and starting to pen this sermon and write down things, you know what I love about Living Way? We don't allow those problems to come in here. All the things, pandemic, you can't come to Living Way. You're not welcome. Racism, you can't come in those back doors. You're not welcome here. Hate, bigotry, you can't come in. This is why? Because we're creating a faith climate. Well, if we can do it for 2 hours on a Wednesday night and 2 hours on a Sunday, then why can't we take the same faith out those doors and create an environment around us that is the same there and say, nope, racism, you can't live on my block. Nope, you can't live in my streets. No, sickness, you can't come in here. Poverty, you're not welcome here. Creating that faith where we're living it out there, because I got news for you. We don't need to see your faith. They need to see our faith. The person that's broken needs to see our faith. The person that's lost needs to see our faith. The cashier that just got cussed out because of a mask or not a mask, she needs to see your faith. The person on the hospital floor on the bed next to you, they need to see your faith. So I just want to encourage you from the very onset. We know that God watches us. We should act accordingly. Our behavior should change. However, others are watching as well. Husband, wife, your spouse is watching. You might have Brother Jerome fool because he only shakes your hand a couple minutes a week. But that spouse is living with you. They're watching you. Dad and mom, your kids are watching. Your kids are listening to what you say around the dinner table. Your kids are listening to how you're talking about your leadership at work. And so you can't be surprised when they start running their mouth about their leadership at school or their leadership at home. You say, I got a smart mouth kid. Maybe they got a smart mouth parent. and they've been watching your faith or lack thereof on display. And so it's do as I say, not as I do. But that doesn't work because actions speak louder than words. And so you can talk Jesus until you are blue in the face. But at the end of the day, it's not always what you say. It's what they see that is going to make the difference in their life. And so you can't be all Jesus in here and be acting crazy or a fool out there or in your home and expect your kids not to repeat what they see. Kids, your parents are watching you, and so is Santa Claus. Brother, sister, your siblings are watching you. I know that's difficult. You're 14, you've got an 11-year-old sibling. Shape up, they're watching you. You say, well, I didn't choose that. That doesn't matter. That's your lot in life. Be an example. Show them what it means to really live for God and love God, and that it's more than your favorite Jesus culture song. And it's more than listening to your favorite podcast. It's about taking the faith that you say you have in Jesus Christ and letting it change you from the inside out so that you reflect Christ and look like Christ at any moment of your life. Well, here's a good one. Employer, your employees are watching you. Don't talk down to them because you might be working for them before it's all said and done. And you're going to want to reap what you sow. Employees, your employer is watching you. Man, woman, your community is watching. Can I encourage you? What you say about racism on social media doesn't matter. What you say about racism when it's all the same race in your living room, that's what really matters. When it's all the white people in the living room, what you say when there ain't no black people around, that's the real you. When it's all the black people at the family reunion and there ain't a white person inside, that's the real you. Your community needs the Jesus you. Getting quiet on a Wednesday. Kid, young people, your school is watching you. They're watching you. They call you a Jesus freak. They call you a holy roller. They make all of these things, which means they recognize that there's something different about you than them. Don't let their words dumb you down, change you, or make you hide the fact that you are a faith-filled young person. And realize if you're going to claim Jesus in here and out there, you cannot behave in such a way that matches the world and not who God has called you to be. Living Way Church, members, attenders, your church family is watching you. Watching you in here. You can't bless them in here and curse them out there. They're watching you. Leaders, we're being watched. People are watching and making faith decisions. What does that mean? It means that they're watching us in our good moments. They're watching us in our bad moments. They're watching how we handle success and how we handle failure. They're watching how we treat people, all people. They're watching how we conduct business, either with integrity or dishonestly. They're watching how we treat our spouse, how we treat our kids. They're watching how we handle money, notoriety, and success. People all around us are watching our faith or lack thereof every day. There's an old saying that says, preach every day, use words if necessary. Understand that your words hold great value, but who you are as a person of faith, who you are at your job, in your family, when you're off of a church campus, and that faith that you say you have, in those moments where you're tried, in those moments where you're tested, that is where your faith really speaks volumes, is that I'm going through things that are not perfect, and I'm not in a faith environment, but I will make this a faith environment. Come on, Living Way. It might not be a faith environment at your job, but the day they hired you, it became a faith environment. You might not go to a private Christian school, but the day you show up at that school, it becomes a Christian school. Listen, everywhere you are should be infused with faith. Because the paparazzi, everybody is watching. So by building my faith, by building our faith, we are helping those who watch us build their faith. Have you ever had someone come up to you and say, you don't know how you changed my life. You don't know that what you said, what you did, it changed me. And I just want to tell you, 6 months ago, when you said that, when you did that, or I saw you go through that, it ministered to me, or it changed me, or it helped me. What they're saying is your faith helped me build my faith. Your faith in Christ led me to a place that I've never been before. Every action, this is a weighty statement, every action that we make lead someone closer to the cross or further away. Every action at HEB, come on, I'm learning. Every action, because listen, I fleshed out one night. I fleshed out one night at the Baskin Robbins in New Braunfels. And it was not a good scene. And when we got in the truck, Mandy said, "You have commercials running on TV." And what she's really saying is, with your big old bald head, they're going to remember who you were. And you're standing there in the sanctuary inviting people to come to church, but you're really not inviting them to come to church. You're inviting them to come to the cross. Church is just the bait to get them to the cross. And so what Mandy was saying, and come on, you need a wife like that that will snap you back when you need or thump you in the head. What she was really saying is the way you acted tonight did not help the purpose of the cross, did not help get anybody to the cross. And I don't know if that young person ever saw that or not. I don't know if the people that were there, Baskin Robbins, ever saw the commercial or not. But every day of my life, when my flesh starts coming up, I beat that down and say, nope, I'm not going to live that way. Why? Because I'm a prisoner of the cross. I preach the cross. I live the cross. I worship at the foot of the cross because Jesus has done something in my life. And so whether I'm preaching on a Wednesday night at 7:45 at Living Way or I'm preaching at 8 o'clock on a Friday at Baskin Robbins, I've got to realize the paparazzi's eyes are on us and we are either leading people to the cross or away from the cross. Somebody say amen. Somebody say all eyes are on me. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 11:1, King James Version. It says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ." Meaning, as you look at me, you should see Christ. And as I follow Christ, you can follow me. What he's saying, and don't get it twisted, he didn't want there to be Paul fans. He wanted there to be Jesus followers. But what he's saying is I'm so in touch with what Jesus is doing that if you'll mimic what I've done to get to where I am, if you'll mimic those things in the name of Jesus, you're going to get to the same places. And so when you see somebody that knows what they're doing praising, you ought to praise, you ought to worship, you ought to pray, you ought to intercede like that. Why? Because they've gotten to the level of their life by exhibiting a faith that maybe you or I have not yet tapped into. But if you will mimic and follow them as they follow Christ, you're going to get to the same place. You're going to get to the same miracle. You're going to have the same breakthrough that Paul had. Paul said in Ephesians 5:1, King James, it says this, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." I like another version says it like this, "Be imitators of God." You spend so much time with God that you're not doing a comedy routine. You're not trying to sound like him. You spend so much time with him, you imitate him. Pat Bishop and I don't know if you know this or not, we look very different. All right, you can laugh. That's all right. At this point, he looks like my younger brother, and I'm okay with that. But when we're on the phone and we answer, people always don't know who they're talking to. Why? Because I've spent so much time with my father that not only do I say the same thing, I sound the same way. See, that's why on a Wednesday night, you can't say, "Well, I've been with Jesus and I've been to church and my faith is good." Wednesday and Sundays are, they might be enough for you to know what to say, but Wednesdays and Sundays are not enough for you to say it like the Father says it and to sound like he sounds. That's why on Monday I've got my Bible study. On Tuesday I'm worshiping as I drive down Interstate 10. On Wednesday morning I know we're having church, yet I'm still in my word. On Thursday I'm having a praise break with a friend of mine talking about the goodness of the Lord. On Friday I'm listening to
to a podcast. On Saturday, I'm calling and serving and checking on young people. On Sunday, I come in the house of God worshiping. But Sunday before the sun goes down, I'm still talking to God. Why? Because I don't want to just say the right things. I want to sound like God. I want to be an imitator of God, so that the same way that when I would answer the phone and they'd say, Steve, and I say, no, this is Brandon, that when I speak, the devil doesn't know if it's God speaking or Brandon speaking, because I'm such an imitator of God. That's what we need out there. Not in here. Not in here. I'm going to tell on myself. I love this praise team. I love the praise team next door on Saturday nights. I love when every once in a while they invite me to do a song with them. I love Rattle. It's like my one chance to be the rock star that I never got to be. But it's Holy Ghost filled, it's anointed, the lyrics are powerful. I absolutely love it. But why is it that I can have that energy here, but then when I go out there, I walk up to somebody and say, you want if I pray with you? That'd be okay. Where's this brain? This is the Brandon the world needs. Not that, because y'all don't need this Brandon. Y'all can put on Stephen Furtick's version and Chris Brown's version and have yourself a praise party. You don't need this. They need that version of Brandon. They need the version of praiser you were here. They need the version of worshiper you were on Thursday night. They need the intercessor. That's what they need. Being imitators of God. Why? Because they're watching. I'm amazed at what my kids have picked up by proxy, because they're with me all the time. And it wasn't a conversation I had at them. It was a conversation I had around them. The people at your job, you don't have to speak at them to speak to them. Come on. Come on, church. Tomorrow when you get to your job, you don't have to preach at them. But you can preach to them by how you handle your boss, by how you handle your employees, by how you handle your responsibility, by how you handle disappointment, by how you handle bad news, by how you handle that call, by how you handle the person that just stabbed you in the back and used you as the fourth rung to climb up the corporate ladder. All of that preaches to them, even though you might not preach at them. Preach at all times, and if you have to, use words. Let's go to the book of James. James is a very controversial book. One of my favorite books. It's one of my favorite books growing up as a teenager. Once I gave my life to Christ, and I didn't really know that there was a lot of controversy in it. But some scholars and Bible teachers literally have said that it does not belong in the Bible, and they wish that it was taken out. I believe it was on Sunday, and I paraphrase what Bishop said, but most of the time when someone has an issue or part of the Word of God that they don't agree with, or that they don't want in there, or that they don't agree with, they immediately jump to that, well, it shouldn't be in there. There's a lot of things in the Word of God that are designed not to make you feel good, but they're designed to get you closer to God. That's why when you read the Word of God, it should not be your three favorite verses all the time, but you should be dealing with things that you're dealing with. And if you're dealing with anger, going to verses of peace and verses of taking dominion over those emotions. If you're sick, we've got to understand that James is such an important part, because James opens us up to a revelation that no one else talks about in the entire canonized Word of God and the other 65 books. Most people have a problem with James' writing, listen to this, because of the responsibility it places on believers. Because we have been taught, especially in the Western world, that Jesus is like Santa Claus. That we make our list of top 10 things, and if we are good enough, he will come and bless us and do those things. And if we come to enough services, and if we hit the altar 3 times on Sunday, and if we sing this order of worship songs and these, that God's going to show up. It has nothing to do with that. And James breaks that myth down completely. We as believers must embrace this revelation. Are you ready? That everything that we need Jesus to do on earth has already been done. That's why they hate James. Because James said, you don't have what you need, not because God hasn't done it, Not because God is ignoring you, not because God hasn't heard you, but because you heard something and you were too lazy to do the something, and now you want to blame God or say, no, James shouldn't be in there. I thought that God was going to give me exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power of Jesus that works within us. We leave that part out a lot. There's got to be a power that is working on the inside. Why does he give us power? To get the job done, which means this, church, there is work to do before you are blessed. You are going to have to believe. You are going to have to operate in faith. But when faith wells up on the inside of you, it's not going to let you sit down, stand by. It's going to light a fire under your tail to get up and do something.
So James takes the onus, the responsibility off of Jesus and puts it on believers. And in my notes, I put, wow, 3 exclamations. James takes the responsibility, takes the onus off of Jesus. Jesus already, listen, we say this. Jesus went to the cross. If he doesn't do anything else, he's already done enough. Why do we say that? But then when someone says, he's already done everything, you just got to believe faith and do that thing into being. Why do we get all crinkly-nosed at that? Well, let me fast about that word, Pastor. Let me pray about that word. You don't need to pray or fast about it. That's word right there. He said there's too many listeners and not enough doers. There's a lot of you that can recite word like you recite poetry, but nothing's changing in your life. Come on. You've got to know what to say it, and you've got to sound like God when you say it. So James took the responsibility off of Jesus and puts it on believers. If you're taking notes, that's what this means. Your life is 100% your responsibility. Write it down. Your life is 100% President Trump's responsibility. President Obama's responsibility. Congress's responsibility. Your mama or your daddy's responsibility. It's nobody's responsibility but yours. You can sleep all day or you can get up at 7 a.m. You can get in your word or you can wait till somebody hands you something out. Listen, I'm thankful for the food bank, but my goal is to get you fed enough and working and faith enough that you can make $1 million and feed 1 million people next year because of what God has done in your life. Your life, my life, is 100% my responsibility. If I believe that, I turn from a victim to a victor overnight. Because now I know I don't have to have fans, I just have to have Jesus. I don't have to have resources, I just have to have the source. You say, Pastor, what does this have to do with paparazzi? I'm talking about getting our faith right so that when we leave the building and the campus and we show back up to our homes, our jobs, and our schools, that we can be the faith person that God has called us to be. And we cannot be what we need to be out there until we can look in the mirror and say, everything you need, you and God can do. God has already done his part. All you've got to do is wake up and do your part. It's 100% my responsibility. Somebody say, all eyes are on me. We live. We're getting a lot covered here in just a few minutes. We are living in the most creative time in the history of man. We're living in the most creative time. The fact that we have things like Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, the fact that we can pay our bills, the fact that we can deposit checks without leaving our recliner now is absolutely amazing. For those of you that are really good and you've got an online business, check this out. You can make the money while you're in the recliner. You can receive the payment while you're in the recliner. You can spend the money while you're, you can do all of that. All of that while you're watching TV. Better be careful if that's what you're doing. We live in the most creative time in the history of man. We also live in the most apathetic, lethargic, and lazy generation ever. And I'm not talking about people under 20. I'm talking about people under 120. We've gotten very comfortable. We've gotten very comfortable in church. Let me tell you the prayer of this pastor for our church the last 4 months. God, let them don't get comfortable to watching online. Because as much as I love my online crew and we love you, and listen, you're going to get back here as soon as you can. I realize, and in no way am I disparaging your decision.
You got to make that with God and use wisdom. But I refuse to buy into the statistics that they're touting that up to 75% of churches will not receive their membership and their family back because they get used to watching it on a screen. As good as it is on a screen, let me tell you about when you can get in this place and somebody can lay hands on you and you can embrace somebody and you can look in their eyes. I am here to tell you, we are not going to be held hostage by apathy, lethargy, and lazy. If we are not careful, our creativity can become the mother of lethargy, meaning the more creative we are, the less we do. We say things, and I say this all the time, work smarter, but not harder. And a lot of us think, well, working smarter means I don't have to sweat. That's not what it means. It means that your efforts are magnified at such a rate that you can do more and make more, accomplish more, and influence more without as much energy. Doesn't mean you are lazy and doesn't mean you're not sweating. It just means smarter, as in when we go live on Facebook in Living Way Church, if we pack this building four or five times a weekend, we can reach more people with the click of a button from upstairs on a Sunday or a Monday or a Tuesday. That's working smarter, saying they don't have to come here, but I can reach them in Tokyo. I can reach them, come on, in South America. I can fulfill the Great Commission without ever leaving here. That's creativity, but we're not letting it lead to lethargy and a do-nothing spirit. So how to live our faith in a world where everyone is watching? James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Can I encourage you to take this phrase out of your vocabulary? I'm having a bad day. See, because having means you're currently in the middle of it. You could say, I had a bad day. But not I'm having a bad day, and not I'm going to have a bad day. I had a bad day means it's over, means I've moved on from that season of my life to a good day, a better day, a good way, a better way. But listen, when things go wrong in my life, and I've been doing this for the last few years, I'm not having a bad day, I'm having a count it all joy day. Meaning that I got all this trash coming at me. I got things that I don't like. I got things that are happening that are making me uncomfortable. And I just say, God, this is a count it all joy day. What does that mean? That means don't let the enemy see you sweat. You say, well, the Bible says confess your faults one to another. That doesn't mean put it on Facebook and Twitter. That means in your squad. Remember that inner circle of five people? That means to your prayer partner, your praise partner, your spouse, and the people closest to you, you confide in them. This is what I'm going through. Let me tell you something about Living Way. There have been people in this church in the last calendar year that got cancer, were healed of cancer, and you never knew. Why? Because they went to their three or four people and said, this is the issue. This is how I need you to pray. This is how I'm coming out of it. You say, oh, man, if they had asked all of us, man, we'd have 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people praying for them. Yeah, but they can't trust your prayers. That's what they're saying. I'm not going to ask you to pray for me if I can't trust your prayer. That's why I'm always just amazed when something happens and some secular sports analyst on ESPN says they're in our thoughts and prayers. Number one, I need to know, how are you praying? How much are you praying? And the number one thing is, who are you praying to? Are you praying in the name of Jesus? And if you notice, they've taken and prayers out and you're in our thoughts. What does that mean? I'm sending you good energy. No, you keep that energy to yourself. I need you to touch the throne room. I need you to bend the ear of God. I need your faith on display for me in my house, and I'll do the same for you. Count it all joy means do not let the enemy see you sweat. I don't say crazy things on Facebook. I don't say crazy. Some of y'all do. And I've unfollowed you, I've blocked you, or I've hidden you, or I've snoozed you. They got a new feature. We can just snooze you for 30 days. And after we snooze you for 30 days, and we have a month free from all of your drama, and then you pop back in our news feed, we say, you know what? It's been a good 30 days. I'm just going to unfriend or unfollow them. Don't act like you don't do it. Here's another one. This is a phrase Bishop has made popular over the last 40 years. Don't syndicate your sorrows. Listen, some of you are in the duplication mode. You've had a bad moment, and you want everybody to talk about your bad moment. Listen, there is that thing that you can do on Facebook where you can make one statement and everybody pities you. You don't want people's pity. You want to be empowered, not pitied. You want people to encourage you, not leave you an empty phrase in your comment box or your message box. And so don't syndicate your sorrows. First and foremost, you need to go to Jesus. That's how you're going to build faith, so that when you step out there, they don't see you sweat. Second thing is, you need to find your squad that you can talk to that's not going to judge you, but's going to pray for you. That's not going to ask a bunch of questions, but just going to take it to the throne room. Don't syndicate your sorrows. Don't broadcast your burdens. Don't broadcast them. Don't let everybody know your business. Don't let it, because when you say all that craziness and then you get over it 12 hours later, we're still remember when you were acting crazy. I'm going to give you another one. This is free of charge. When your friend starts running down their spouse, just listen. Don't run them down with them, because they're going to go home and make up with their spouse. And then the next time they see you, they're going to remember all the ugly things that you said about their spouse. And then they're going to tell their spouse what you said. And then she's going to be looking at you cross-eyed. Don't broadcast your burdens. Don't duplicate your doubt. There are drama and doubt people all around you. All they need is one statement. They'll be in your living room. They'll be stirring up all that grief. It says, my brethren, I didn't even get to this relationship here. My brethren, count it all joy. He's talking to people that know what a real relationship with Jesus. Count it all joy when you fall into divers. Not water diving. Divers without an E. Temptation. I love what it says. When you fall, not jump. When you fall into temptation, not jump into temptation. I'm going to say it again, because some of y'all acting like you don't understand what I'm saying. When you fall into temptation, not jump into temptation. Listen, you get in a motel room on the other side of town, paying cash and taking your secretary or somebody you work with, that's not falling into temptation. That is jumping. You made your bed. You made sure you were all clean. You make sure you covered your trail. So you get, that's jumping into temptation. Faith will never cause you to jump into temptation. If anything, I'm falling. And when I fall, I'm going to fall forward. So when I get back up, I'm at least getting up 5 feet, 7 3/4 inches farther than when I fell down. You don't jump into temptation, but he said there is times that you'll fall into diverse temptation. That word diverse there means, it's where we get our word diversity, where we get our word diversify. So it means when you are being attacked all around. It's not an isolated attack. It's an attack where your marriage is under attack. Your children, your family units under attack. You go to work and you're thinking, man, I'm going to get 8 hours of reprieve. And you get to work and all hell is breaking loose at work. And then they're calling you from the school and everything's going and you're being buffeted all around. This is what James would say. He said, I want to encourage you to count it all joy when you fall into diverse, the many ways, different ways, temptation. Remember temptation. God never uses temptation. Get to it next week, probably. God uses tests. I'm going to preach it now, and I'll preach it again next week. For you to pass a test, it doesn't take faith, because you should study for the answers. If I ask Jaden, how are you going to do on your algebra test? I got faith that I'm going to pass it. Doesn't work. That's why when kids, I use this tactic every year. Pastor Brandon, I got my exams coming up, my finals coming up. Will you pray that I pass it? This is my prayer. God, everything they heard, everything they studied, everything they read, bring it back into their mind. I'm not going to jerk a rabbit out of God's hat so you can pass algebra that you did not study for. It does not take faith to pass tests, because you study to show yourself approved, which means you have the answers. So when the test comes, it's not a faith, it's not a hope, it's not a might. I know the answer to this one. I know the answer to this one. I studied for that one. I'm ready for this one. I'm prepared for this one. I ace the test and I move up a level. What you need faith for is when you come against diverse temptation, because temptations are not of God, they're of the enemy. And so I need faith because I don't know the answer. Why? Because right when I find out the answers, the devil changes the question. Right when I get a handle on my family, something happens in my money. Then when I'm handling my money, something happens at my job. And I go over here and I handle my job, and something happens in my marriage. And so always changing. So it takes faith. Temptation is designed to make you fail, to make you fall, to make you sin. But this is what he said. Count it all joy. Why? And he's about to get to faith here first. We're going to end right here. He's about to get to faith for the trying of your faith. There is a faith that you have. When you're born, it's the measure of faith. Romans 12:3. When you get saved, that faith goes up 30 levels. You call on Jesus, he saves you, he comes into your heart. Faith every day makes him Lord of your life. Standing on your feet with me tonight. But when you call on his name, he saves you. And then for the next few years, you make him Lord of your life. All of that takes faith. He says, count it all joy. Hey, Pastor, give me something I can take into my Thursday. This is it. When you leave this place and the devil attacks you, tempts you, tries to make you fail, fall, or sin, count it all joy. I don't want to re-preach sermons I've already preached before. I've preached that when he attacks you, he's tipping his hat of what God is getting ready to do in your life. So if you're under attack, get ready. There's another level of faith God is taking you to. But I want to encourage you with this. How you react to temptation there is so vitally important because of their watching. Paparazzi's got the cameras. They're saying, how can you worship here and be so depressed on social media? How could you preach such faith here and just be so crazy out there? It does not work. But when my faith here matches my faith there, and when I'm all under attack, and I just count it all joy, I'm not going to sweat it. I'm not going to syndicate that. I'm not going to duplicate that. I'm not going to broadcast that. How do you have such faith in this? And boom, now you got the opportunity. And whether they ask the question or not, remember, you don't have to preach at them to preach to them. You just navigate through life. Doesn't mean you don't cry sometimes, but it just means you don't throw in the towel. I want to encourage somebody tonight that, listen, you've got eyes on you. You say, I don't got any eyes on me. I promise you. The statistics say that each one of us affects 250 people every day of our life. So my question to you is, tomorrow morning, what kind of faith are you going to have when you leave your house? Are you going to bring 250 people closer to the cross? Or are you going to push them further? My altar call tonight is very simple. If you're ready for your faith to be fortified, to be strengthened, to be enlarged, to go up a level, if you're ready for your faith to match out there what it is in here, for your boldness to match out there what it is in here, I need you to come. Man, what great, great people are coming to this altar. And I love it because all of us should want to level up. All of us should want to grow. But I don't want to just fill the altar I wanted this to be serious. I want this to be somebody calling out and saying, God, my faith has leveled off, but I'm ready for it to go to new levels. If you're in this place today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, the greatest statement of your faith is to say yes to Jesus as your Savior. It's the difference between life and death, heaven and hell, for eternity with Christ or eternity without him. If you've never said yes to Jesus, if you're watching at home, say yes to him. Repent of all of your sins. Claim him as the only one to get the way to get to heaven, the Son of God. He will come into your life in a very real way. But if you're in this place today, you've never given your life to Jesus, we'd love to lead you in a prayer right here. It's not going to take all night. We're not going to embarrass you. But as this altar fills up, come on, there's paparazzi. You've seen those clips on TMZ. You've seen those clips on the news where somebody of influence gets out of their plane, gets out of their car, and all those flashbulbs are going off. You might not see the flashbulbs, but there's people watching. Hundreds of eyes are on you, or on your faith. Your faith matters to you. but it matters to those that are connected to you, your influence. If you're in this place today and you'd like to give your life to Christ, be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, or even be baptized in water, this is your night. We're ready to do just that. But if you are good, if you're good with your walk, if you're good with your relationship with God right now, I need you to stretch your hand forward. Let's begin to pray. I'm going to start down here on my left, your right. It's not too late for you to come.